Scott Sanders.
And I'm Derek Hanna,
a very experienced church planner from Brisbane. Welcome to The One Thing, a podcast designed to give you one solid practical tip for gospel centre ministry every week. Now, The One Thing is brought to you with thanks to Geneva Push, the Australian Church Planning Network. Now, you press play on episode number 4, Pathways to the Gospel.
Yeah, look, so in our previous episode, we spoke about signposts, which in some ways aren't controversial in any way. They're just things that we do as a people of God gathered that point people towards, hopefully, Jesus. And this episode, 15 minutes down the track, we're asking, what about pathways when they find their way to you?
So someone finds your church, but what do they do next? I'm just going to give a quick recap of those three areas. So signposts, how do people find you? Remember that? Pathways, how do they join you? Ecosystems, what happens once they do? We're asking the question, what does it look like to lead a local church on mission in ever-increasing maturity? And for a whole number of reasons, it's helpful to think in these three distinct areas of signposts, pathways, and ecosystems. So, Derek, last time we looked at signposts. Today we're going to be talking about pathways. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, and last time I mentioned these four stages of engagement that I think are around. Look, I just stole off other people as well. It's this awareness, engagement, connection, and commitment that people might have. Might be aware of you, might be engaged in some way, might be connected, might be committed. But once people move into your orbit, so it's probably often at that you've got the awareness, they know about you, they're engaged with you, you might come to a carols event or even a playgroup. But once they move into your orbit, often on a Sunday, my question is, do you have a plan for what to do there when they come to that point? And while we want to say, and particularly with often the rise of missional communities, that people aren't going to church as much these days, which is true at some level, the primary point, the primary connection point for most people when they're coming to church, whether Christian or not, the point they first experience Christian community is a Sunday. Like they might come with a friend who's a Christian or they might just turn up. That's the point at which we see them first. There's lots of stats backing that up, actually.
Yeah, it's Tim Sims a few years back with Sarah King did some great research with Effective Ministries just into to newcomers coming to your church, and found that there was over 600 people in the average sort of Sydney Anglican church of 100 people who during the course of the year would visit your church. So if you think about those 600, about 400 of those would come, you know, once during the year onto your premises for a special occasion, for a special service. And then the other sort of 200, 250 people who come onto your church property would come a little bit more regularly. So that's the second or third time visitor. That's the person that, you know, would say they're a Christian and an Anglican, or, you know, they go to your brand of Christianity and they come to you at Christmas and Easter. So the reality is there are a lot of people that are coming into your church that you have the opportunity to create these pathways to connect with and to integrate into the life of your church.
Absolutely. So my question is, what do you do then? Do you have a clear step for them? Not just the next step either, not just one, but kind of 2, 3, 4. So you are helpfully moving them along the path towards understanding what you're doing and be committed to it so they can join you on the mission that you're on.
All right, we talk these days a lot about belonging before believing. So if I'm sitting there thinking relationships are more important than structure and systems, what do you have to say about that?
Oh, well, I say, what a load of rubbish. No, I don't say that. I want to say those two things are not opposed to each other.
They're not?
They're not. Oh. No, they're not. No, I know you like a good dichotomy.
I love a dichotomy. Yeah.
No, but they're not. I visited a number of churches last year with Wade Burnett, who's coming out in June this year. Yeah, June this year, multi-site guy, great guy. He does a lot of church consultancy in the US, and he does a secret shopper thing where he goes to churches and works with them. And I went along with him to see what he does with it. And he said when he walks into a church initially, the thing that he's looking for when he goes is whether they are warm and intentional, warm and intentional. And he says you have to have both. When someone moves into the orbit of your church, comes on a Sunday, if they're warmly welcome, there's a good chance they're going to stick around and come back the next week. Relationships are hugely important.
Now, the interesting thing is most people think they're part of a friendly church. You know, that's because they're with their friends and, yes, and they're friendly to them. But we're actually not warm and intentional.
Yeah. No, being warm to the outside is a very different thing.
Well, let's assume that they're a Christian.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's assume they're a Christian. They've found their way to your church and you're asking, well, okay, if we're warm, but we're not intentional with them. What's going to happen is they'll stick around, but they'll never really know how things work or why they work. They might pick stuff up organically, and a lot of churches want to say it'll just be in our DNA, it'll organically happen, they'll organically understand what we do. But the problem is this, they'll find themselves 6 months down the track enmeshed in relationships because people are warm towards them, enmeshed in these relationships, but they realize they have no idea what they're on board with. They don't know what your mission is, what your theology is. They're simply there because people are so warm to them. They've never heard anything heretical up the front to that point, which on the one hand is great. You know, it's great that they've been warm. On the other hand, it's a complete disaster because the hardest people to work with in church aren't those who aren't Christians. It's those who are Christians with their own agenda. They will suck the life right out of you. They are vampires.
Okay, I feel like
I've gone too far. I've gone too far.
I mean, I've gone too far. The reality is they'll walk over hot coals, though.
Yeah.
You can annoy them. You could not put on something that's appropriate for them. It'll take them a good 6 to 12 months before they go, hang on, this church is not for me. But in that time, you're saying they're going to use up a fair amount of resource.
They are. You know, vampires is too much. You know, maybe in the what we do in the shadows vampire kind of show way. No. If you've been warm but you lack intentionality, it's going to feel good for them for the short term, but you're actually not loving them in the long term because you haven't allowed them to decide whether they are here to join you.
Well, let's assume the person isn't a Christian.
Yep. All right. They're here because they're exploring God, Christianity. They're intrigued by Jesus. Who knows? Again, hopefully they're going to be warmly welcomed. But the question for them is, what next? How do they explore Jesus? Where do you send them? It's great if everyone in your church is able to sit down and read the Bible one-on-one with them. But to be honest, that is just not the reality in churches. It's just not the reality. And what if the person they connect with that night isn't someone who is able to do that with them? You still want them to be able to do it. And you still want that person who they connect with that night to know how to help them do that. So I know we often want to have this idea where we focus on the warmth and we just think it'll soak through our DNA and the rest will take care of itself organically. That people just wander in and they say, what must I do to be saved? And we'll all read the Bible with each other. But I'm saying, no, that's naive. It's an ideal and it's not necessarily a biblical one, and it's a false dichotomy to say that you can't have warmth and intentionality. No. I want to say we have to have both. People want to be warmly loved, and part of being warmly loved is guiding them, not forcing them. Everyone is different, not sausage factory, guiding them towards a pathway that'll help them take the next step.
That's really helpful, Derek. We're going to come back to flesh out more of what those pathways look like. Before we do that, though, I just want to crack open the one thing toolbox. Each episode, we like to make sure that you have everything you need to go further than 15 minutes of thinking on the one thing. So here are my top three must-have pathway resources for your church. The first one is a church needs to have a good evangelistic course. Now, I'm a bit agnostic on this. It could be Introducing God, Simple Christianity, Christianity Explored. You could pick up the Reason for God series or the Prodigal God series. It could be the Life course or Alpha course as well. Basically, you need to have something. Now, if you want to check out a great course that a lot of churches in our network use, it's on churchinabox.online. Churchinabox.online. We'll put in the show notes. It's the Life course that has been prepared by EV Church. I've seen loads of church plants take that and contextualize it for their own church context and their own community. So that's the first thing. The second thing is your church needs to have an integration course. So that's your Connect course, or for want of a better word, your membership course. You need to have a way for already made Christians to know what the vision, mission of your church is, to know what it looks like to connect and be a full member of your church. The final one, again, this is on churchinabox.online. Is to have a newish night resource. So you need to have something to again welcome the not yet Christian or the person who hasn't worked out, you know, where they sit in the path. Are they going to be jumping into an Introducing God course, or are they going to be working out what it means to be a member in the church? And so every church should have something like a newish course.
Absolutely.
Well, back to Derek. I want to keep pushing into pathways for churches. Particularly, though, the pushback is often this. If you're a church planter, if your church is small, people don't want to feel like they're part of a process. You know, we don't want to feel like we're a number. We want it to be relational. Isn't this just a big church thing, and you're just bringing that from your big church Brisbane, you know, context, Derek?
Yeah, look, I understand that people are intimidated by us people from Brisbane. I understand that. Well thought
it's
out.
Not just a big country town.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, not anymore. No, look. But look, I want to say to the question of should it be relational, amen, brother, amen. It always has to be relational. But that relational is going to look different for church sizes, isn't it? So when you're small, and when you're, like, I remember when we launched, and I'd be up the front preaching, and, you know, people would always turn up late. I would know every new person that night, and I'd be thinking in my head afterwards, I'm going to connect with that person. I'm not the only person. That's unhealthy. I'm going to connect with that person. I'm going to have coffee with them afterwards. And when I sit down with them and sit across the table, I'm going to sell the vision of what we're doing. And I'm going to push that vision, and I'm going to get them on board. And if they're not a Christian, I'm going to meet with them and read the Bible and take someone along with me as I do that to train someone. But I would, you know, the process was me in my head doing it.
But a church plant's not going to grow past 50 people. You are the glue at the start. The church planter is the glue at the start.
Yep.
But if they actually want to grow, they're going to need to develop people to be doing that warmth and that intentionality.
Absolutely. But they still need the same things. They still need to meet people and connect with people. They still need to hear the vision. They still need to know how they can be involved. They still need to be able to understand the gospel and connect with Jesus. It needs to be meaningful. It's always about the person. But pathways aren't opposed to people. They're about there to serve people, to make it clearer for them what it looks like to move towards Jesus and join you in your local mission, no matter what your size. You have to be thinking warmth and intentionality.
So what are the pathways that you're suggesting?
Well, look, you've mentioned a few of them in the resources, which is really helpful. For me, I would say there's a baseline of three. The bigger you get, the more complex it is, and so you might add others. But I think you can't get away with having less than these three, particularly when you launch. These are the three I'd say. The first is you have to have an introduction night. So when someone comes on Sunday, you're saying from the front, hey, great, you could join us. If you want to join us for 15 minutes afterwards, just outside in that room over there, I'll be there answering questions. Good to meet you. You'll take along a few regulars. It'll just help them get to know a little bit about their church. It's like triage for them and for you as well, where you can say to them, hey, if you're exploring Jesus, we're running this course coming up. And I'll talk about that one in a second. If you're a Christian, we would love to talk to you more about what we do here. We have an integration course or a membership course, whatever you want to call it, coming up here. It's just the first thing you need to have, first pathway is introduction, newish night.
And as you say, that's going to change as the size of your church changes as well. So at the start, I'm sure Jackie was happy to have everyone in your house, you know, once a month.
Yep.
But as time went on and the size of that group grew, your house just wasn't appropriate.
Oh, no, when we got to 2,500, that was the limit for her. So we had to stop there. Yeah. No, it is. And so it does change. Sometimes 15 minutes after dinner, sometimes it's at night. Who knows? Second one is this. You have to have an evangelistic course. You've got to do it. Like, this is our bread and butter. And you have to run it regularly, I would say. If someone comes to you and says, I'd like to explore the gospel.
Oh, sorry, we only do that in term three.
That's exactly right. I know you've come in January, but you're going to have to wait till July. No, no. There, I understand resource-wise it's heavy, but you have to do that stuff. And so this is a triage that Newish Night, where you get to know people and where they're at, and you say, hey, if you're not a Christian, here is the place that you can go to. That's the pathway. It can be 3, 4, 5-week course, doesn't matter. Just a place where they can sit down, wrestle with what the gospel is.
And there are loads of courses. What's the third thing?
The third thing is this. You have to have an integration course. You have to allow people to learn what you're about, what your values are, what your convictions are, what your mission is, so that they can choose to buy into you or not based on an informed opinion. You have to have that. Because the last thing you want, as we said before, is for someone to get 6 months down the track, not know about your church and find out there's stuff they are just at odds with you about, and they've never had the opportunity to ask you about them. It doesn't serve them well. It doesn't serve the church well. These are the three things, that welcoming night, the evangelistic course, and the integration course. I would say before people find their way into Bible study, those are that's the kind of path. You've got to be warm and intentional with that, but you've got to have those things in place. You can't just fall back on thinking we're going to be organic and hope it happens.
If you've got questions for the podcast, jump on our Facebook page and let us know your questions. We want to interact with you, our listeners, and we want to hear your questions as well. Now, that brings us to the end of the show. So, Derek, what's the one thing people should be taking away when it comes to thinking through pathways?
When people find their way to you, you have to have pathways that are warm and intentional.
Now, let me just say, Derek is both those. He's both warm and intentional. So all the extras associated with today's show are in the show notes for this episode and online at genevapush.com/the one thing. And while you're clicking around, click on over to Facebook. As I said, we want to hear the questions that you're asking. So please put your questions on that page. Well, thanks again for joining us for another episode of The One Thing. Coming up in our next episode...
Well, we've told you the one thing you need to know about signposts, the one thing you need to know about pathways, and now...
Well, in about 15 minutes, you'll get the one thing you need to know about ecosystems, the way your community comes together, and what that means for Christian growth and maturity. I'm Scott Sanders.
And I'm Derek Hanna.
Chat soon.